Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program heard weekdays on 18 radio stations with 27 signals all across the Treasure State. Thanks for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook at Voices of Montana and on the internet at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. You, my friend, you have an important duty of coming here. And that's to get yourself informed. And then that's get yourself to the polls or fill out your ballot and get that ballot in, because we deserve the government that we vote for, right? I don't know that there's any other way to look at it. There's a lot of good quotations out there about what it means and how valuable our vote is. And hopefully there's one up on your wall somewhere too. This time of year, June 5th, the primary, what is it, like 5 days away now? Holy cow. So today we're going to continue doing what we can do here and help inform you. U.S. Senate candidate Brad Johnson stopping by ahead of that primary election. Pleasure to have Brad Johnson in studio, U.S. Senate candidate. He served as the a PSC commission chair as well. A couple of terms there, Secretary of State, and is running in the race against, on the GOP side, against Tim Sheehy for that nomination. Good morning, Brad.
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me in.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. You're no stranger to races. You've won some. You've lost a time or two as well. How's the campaign going? What is there anything different nowadays? I guess I've been in politics a little bit for a little while too, and I feel the angst. I feel the anxiety is a little higher because of the pressures we're facing in this country.
Well, Tom, you're exactly right, and I appreciated your opening remarks. I have said for years that we should always be conscious of the fact that the quality of government under which we live is never better than we demand it to be or worse than we tolerate.
Thank you.
And over the last several decades, frankly, we've been doing an awful lot of tolerating and not very much demanding, and that needs to change. But it's up to the people of Montana to decide to make that change.
Are they up for the task then? Because sometimes that means doing very uncomfortable things. If we're going to look at if they're going to be up to the task about government spending, that means we're going to have to end up doing a lot of cutting. If we're going to be up to the task with our border issues, that means having the will to buck this administration and send people back or change this administration. Well, are we up to the task?
Americans and Montanans traditionally have not been very good at being proactive and preventing crises, but we're really good at solving crises. And I think things are approaching that crisis point where we're going to see some changes demanded. I've traveled extensively around the state over the course of the campaign. I have never encountered an election cycle like this one. The undercurrent of dissatisfaction with the establishment and the status quo is off the chart compared to what I've encountered in previous elections. And if the folks I'm talking to that are expressing that dissatisfaction turn out and vote on the 4th of June, I think we might see some extremely interesting results in some of these elections.
I hope we do, because like you said, it seems clear that there's a lot of policies that are off base for public benefit. And to me, it doesn't seem hard to fix a lot of these policies. The border is one of them. Spending might be a little more difficult because we don't have all that much discretionary spending and it's out of control and there's not the will right now, but there's the will to secure this border. At least I believe there is. And, you know, despite the fact that everybody was quiet about it for, you know, 3 years until all of a sudden I got to run an election, we can still do this.
The border's a no-brainer, both in terms of the necessity of fixing it and in terms of what the solution is. I mean, we don't have to reinvent that wheel, Tom. We look at finishing the wall. We look at reinstating Remain in Mexico. We look at ending catch and release and start deporting every single illegal immigrant that we can find and send that message south. And it's gonna have the same kind of impact that it had when Donald Trump was president and embraced those policies. But we also need to pivot to the north. We've got a huge problem here now as a border state in our own right, that is largely going unnoticed. And so for Montanans, it's almost like we're between the jaws of a vise.
What's happening? At our northern border? What's we're just not paying attention, or have we noticed more foreign nationals coming in? Are there illegal aliens coming through?
We've got more identified terror watch list folks being identified coming across the northern border than the south. At least that's what I'm told. And you know, it doesn't much matter to me whether they come in from the north or the south. The fact of the matter is, once they get in here, they pose a huge threat to this country. And we owe it to every Montanan and every American to start getting serious about policing who's coming into this country.
And this is where I think, as we kind of noted, we talk about politics a little bit, and there's lines drawn in the sand about who's right and who's on the left, so to speak, or who's red and who's blue. I think as we see some of these policies that have been initiated by this administration, and they have recognizable damage in our country. I think, are you getting Democrats who say, Brad, I've never seen it like this before. I'm thinking about crossing the aisle for the first time in my life.
I encounter a fair amount of that. I also encounter a lot of folks at these meetings who say, you know, I've never been involved politically before except for voting. And now they're showing up at meetings and really making a conscious effort to become part of the process and start, as I said earlier, demanding that we improve the quality of government.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, in my race, I have to tell you that I encounter an awful lot of folks who just plain resent the fact that there were two powerful Washington insiders, Mitch McConnell and Steve Daines, who have mandated who the candidate in the Senate race should be. That simply is not setting well with folks out there, and they very much perceive both Senator McConnell and Senator Daines as part of the establishment that we're now expressing all this dissatisfaction with.
Yeah, and I know you and I chatted about this, and that's a legitimate concern. But I have expressed to you that doesn't rise to a huge level for me, just because I understand in politics there's winners and losers, and I know that the work that the senator we have, who's there right now, has been very damaging. I will say, and I've said it before, there's some good things that the Democratic senator has done as well. But these policies coming from this administration, there needs to be serious pushback on from a guy who's from Montana, and that hasn't happened. And so that's where I'm looking. I'm looking at the end result.
Sure,
there, Brad. Yeah.
Well, I think the balancing act for Senator Tester has become increasingly difficult as the Democrat Party as a whole has moved further and further and further left, with policies that are more and more extreme and very much out of step with the views and values of most Montanans. So on the one hand, he's trying to protect his power base in D.C. On the other hand, he's trying to placate those folks here in Montana that are not simply wed to the Democrat Party. You know, keep in mind that this state, up until pretty recently, has been pretty unpredictable in terms of what they're going to do politically.
Yeah.
I think it is amazing to realize that Senator Daines is only the third Republican U.S. senator in the history of Montana. I mean, that
does come across as jaw-dropping, doesn't
says,
it?
Says
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
And look at what we did over the last couple of a decade and a half, where we had 16 years of a Democrat governor and moved into strong majorities, Republican majorities in both houses of the Congress. When I was elected Secretary of State, I was the only statewide elected Republican.
Right.
In 2004. Now the Republicans own every one of those statewide offices. So this is a state that I have described for years as kind of politically schizophrenic, you know.
You know, and it's not that if we are indeed more conservative, it's not that we are more numbers ultra conservative. I think there's just more numbers who are rejecting some of these the direction of the other party.
You remember Ronald Reagan said, "I didn't leave the Democrat Party; the Democrat Party left me." Mm-hmm. And I think that is precisely what we see going on here. And I think the those core Republican principles of lower taxes and smaller government and strong national defense and personal accountability, all put that whole list together. Those concepts reflect the values of 80-90% of Montanans. It's when we get to the far end of the spectrum in either direction that we start having those problems. And I think this recognition of those core Republican principles is also part of what's led to increasing Republican success within Montana.
Brad Johnson is our guest, U.S. Senate candidate, served two terms in the PSC, Secretary of State as well. BradForMontana.com for more information. Look, call us here if you got a question, 866-627-5483. You want to text a comment? It's 781-627-5483. There is some news out that we'll talk about, and of course, with your energy background, a new distribution project, seeing more and more funding. We'll talk about that. I want to ask, what do you think is not the number one problem, but what's the toughest problem that we've got in this country to solve that you think in general, it can be esoteric, it can be specific. What do you think is the toughest problem that we've got to tackle?
Ultimately, the toughest problem going forward is going to be the federal budget. We could, in fact, eliminate every single dollar of discretionary spending in the budget today, and we would not be in balance. We are going to have to send senators and representatives to Washington who are going to have the political courage to tackle the entitlement programs, or we're not only going to lose those programs, we're going to lose the goose that laid the golden egg for this country and all of the prosperity that we've known. We are perilously close to bankrupting ourselves. I wrote a speech in 1982 where I railed against the fact that the national debt had reached $1 trillion. And we're
1992?
82.
Okay.
Well, and we're $34 trillion now and adding multiple trillions per year to that. It is not sustainable, and we can't fix it without fixing the entitlement programs.
Yeah, and it's at a – thank you for that. I appreciate that. And that is a job that is going to take courage. It's going to take courage from the people in Washington, D.C., and the people more courage, I think, on the people who send them to Washington, D.C., to hold them accountable to this.
That's right.
Brad Johnson is in studio. Election Connection coverage continuing here. He's running for U.S. Senate, GOP primary candidate, facing Tim Sheehy, has served two terms and does have political experience. As we said, Brad, won some and lost some, and you were just telling me that there was a famous quote that you remember about that.
Election night, 1968, Richard Nixon said, "I've won some and I've lost some, and winning's a lot more fun."
Amen to that. Hey, we got a call. Dick is listening on KGHL here in Billings, 790 and 94.7. Dick, thanks for calling. You're on the air here on Voices.
Good morning, and thank you for taking my call and for what you do. Brad, I had a question. You've been deeply invested in Montana issues and policy for a long time, but I wanted to ask you, if you had to distinguish yourself from Tim Sheehy, what would be the number one thing that you would point to?
Great question. Thank you,
yeah,
Dick.
Thanks, Dick. Appreciate you calling in. Well, first, let me be just abundantly clear that I genuinely admire Tim for his military service. There's no question about that. But that isn't what this primary election is about. And I think the choice that Montana Republicans have in this primary is between a newcomer who has really no roots, no record in Montana. He has a lot of money, but is really unknown, untested, unvetted. And on the other hand, you've got a candidate who moved to Montana in 1980. Which means I'm closing in on acceptance, and has a real record, both in public service, but in the agricultural community, in the small business community, in the energy sector. I bring a tremendous amount of experience to the table. I am truly prepared to hit the ground running as Montana's next senator, and I will go to Washington, D.C., beholden to no one but the people of Montana. And I will truly be able to be an independent voice for the people of Montana in the U.S. Senate. So I think those are the the real salient differences between Mr. Sheehy and myself.
Yeah, good answer. I appreciate that. Hey, Dick, what do you think about this election? I mean, what are your top issues? Or have you are you engaged in other ways that you haven't been before as a member of the public?
Well, I'm fairly engaged. Yes, I stay as informed as I can. But okay. I think one of the issues that we have to decide in Montana is who is going to control the state of Montana in terms of kind of a hierarchy is the word I'd use, probably not the best word. And I think we've got to break the what I consider kind of a cabal at the top. And I think this is one of the ways that we can do that is to elect Brad.
Interesting. So I guess I'm generalizing. You're tired of the bureaucracy. You're opposed to all the good old boy network that seems to be a big part of our Congress, huh?
Yes, sir, indeed. And the good old boy. And I have nothing against wealth. God bless people that work hard and make money.
Yeah, yeah.
But when they use that wealth to completely dominate. That hasn't become an issue, I think, in the state of Montana.
Dick, I appreciate your call. Thank you for that. And I appreciate your engagement, too.
Bye-bye.
Yep. Take care. Any follow-up on that?
I think Dick's sentiments about the establishment and the influence they're having in this state is very representative of what I was saying to you off air, what I encounter everywhere I go. I've been involved in Montana Republican politics since the early 80s, and I've been through a lot of elections, not just as a candidate, but involved in other ways as well. And I think I've got a pretty good feel for what those election cycles were like. And this one truly is different. There is far more an undercurrent of dissatisfaction and in some ways even resentment towards that establishment wing.
Yeah, and I get that. And it's not that I don't have feelings in that regard, but I'd like to see us coalesce around, a bigger issue we have here. And for me, that's liberal policies. I am one of those let's get together when it's time to get together sort of thing. But sure. That will be June 4th, won't it?
Well, it will. And let me make clear in terms of where I'm coming from. We talk about records and or lack of records, etc. I am a lifelong Goldwater Reagan conservative. Told a group the other night I was a Trump conservative before he was.
A lot of people were actually, yeah. You could say, yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, the other concept that has been lost largely by those that are in power is our obligation to measure what we do in the Senate and the House at the federal level by that pesky dang thing called the Constitution. And my pledge is that every decision I make on behalf of Montanans back there will be measured by both those conservative principles and that Constitution. And we've got to return to that.
Got a question from the text line here, 781-627-5483. Time for it here, too. We'll get to energy, but this is a little bit different. Brad, President Biden's choices for leaders at the Department of Interior, including Secretary Hallen, BLM Director Tracy Stone Manning, have proven to be very detrimental to Montana public land users. If you're elected to serve as Montana's next U.S. Senator and Biden somehow wins the seat, would you be willing to challenge those department heads on their ideology? I'm going to thank you, Andy, for that. I'm going to add into that too, challenging is you can challenge them and say, is one thing, but working to undo their bad policies is another thing. If you know what I mean?
Well, it is the part of the problem we face is that the bureaucracy really is out of control, and we get these. Hey, let me.
The land thing is a good thing.
Yeah,
land,
yeah. And let me say, I would have and said this at the time. I would have vigorously opposed all of those appointments at the time, and certainly if I have the honor of representing Montana in the Senate, and we see that kind of appointment brought forward, I'll be at the tip of the spear pushing. Against those, mm-hmm. One of the things that is kind of hanging around in the Congress right now is a proposed amendment called the Regulation Freedom Amendment. Goes right to what you're talking about here. That says that if one quarter of the membership of either body opposes a regulatory rule offered by one of the agencies, it then must come to the Congress for approval and cannot take effect until that process is done. We desperately need to build that level of protection into the process, because right now the Federal Register is over 90,000 pages now of fine print of rules and regulations, none of which have ever been voted on by an elected official. We got to change that.
And I'm glad to hear you say that, too, because for me, that's the deep state. I've had other candidates on here, mostly from the other side of the party, who don't recognize or who will just deny this existence of the deep state, or say, you know, you can't even define what it is. I think a lot of people have. They've been writing about it. It's become an issue in this country. So that talks about the strength of our congressional body versus executive. And that's out of balance there, because the executive office has something called executive orders and action. How can you make a change there?
Well, changing the executive order process is going to be more difficult than changing the secretarial.
Yeah, the deep state thing.
You get into a constitutional issue. Even, you know, we talk about co-equal branches and so forth. The Congress to start impacting what the president can do as a co-equal member of that group becomes more difficult.
But they've used those orders.
Terribly abused, usurp congressional power.
Yeah.
But the Congress has also, for politically expedient reasons, ceded much of its authority to the executive.
You're right.
And I would love to see the Congress start reclaiming a lot of that authority.
Andy, thanks for that. It is a battle there in Washington, D.C. So, you know, you got to be battle tested. We'll just barely get into this a little bit. Got a minute and a half. But I'm going to talk about energy right now. I'm just opening it up to you. Where are we at with our energy policy?
Montana and the Western region are extremely vulnerable in terms of resource adequacy at this point. The business research group at University of Montana says that we're going to be a net energy exporter in very few years. We're going to become completely dependent on wholesale markets, which will be a killer for us. We've got to start building more dispatchable base load generation, or we're going to be in real trouble.
Is that something people are waking up to at the right levels, so to speak?
There's some progress being made. Unfortunately, like I said before, we respond to a crisis better than preventing one. And we are, within a very few years, if we don't make some major changes, of seeing rolling blackouts used as a tool to manage supply in Montana. And when we have a rolling blackout in February at 25 below, it's going to be very problematic.
Brad Johnson, let's finish up a few things here. Social Security. That's a tough one to talk about, because, if you say we got to fix it, well, how are you going to do it? Well, we're going to do this, this, and this, and then you're going to make enemies out of this, that, and that. It's a difficult one. But when we talk about where our government is and where our spending is, that's something that, if we're going to get a handle on it, we can't ignore it.
Well, I'll tell you what we know for sure. If we keep doing what we're doing with Social Security, we're going to lose the whole shooting match. That's just all there is to it. It is not sustainable. I think that President Bush certainly was not all wrong when he talked about some options of privatizing at least aspects of Social Security. I can tell you, I said for years that as a younger guy, if I'd had the option to opt out of Social Security and move into some kind of private sector managed retirement supplemental program, I certainly would have been open to that, even if it would have meant walking away from some of the contributions that I'd made. That's very much a 30,000-foot kind of concept. Yeah. I mean, the devil's always in the details. But like I said, we've at least got to start having the conversation about how we're going to fix those things. With regard to the challenges we have with medical insurance, Obamacare has not functioned, performed the way it was promised by any stretch. I said at the time that we ought to preserve the good things about the private sector-based health insurance industry, and then look at if we're committed to making sure every American has access to health insurance, that we go to some kind of a means-tested voucher system that would have allowed those people to take advantage of what was, frankly, a vastly superior, and in most cases, a vastly superior system in the private sector. I look at the quality coverage I had as Secretary of State 2005-2009, look at the quality coverage I had from 2015 to 2023, radically different, and it wasn't better.
Yeah, that's we got 1 minute. So thank you for coming in and being a public servant for us as well. What are your final thoughts here?
Well, first, no matter what happens on June the 4th, I have to say it's been a real privilege and honor to have served the people of Montana, both as Secretary of State and the Public Service Commission. I certainly would welcome an opportunity to serve further. But as we've talked, it's been a steep hill to climb. It's going to turn out the way it should. But if we want to really break the control that the establishment has on us, then we've got to demand some changes on January 4th. And I hope that's what's about to happen.
Brad Johnson, again, appreciate that. Find out more. It is bradformontana.com. Good luck. Thanks again for joining us for the podcast. Please share and subscribe and let us know what you think. Email me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. And don't forget, we're on weekdays on your hometown radio stations all across Montana. We hope to hear from you there, too.